centuries ago in fact, to give us some insight into the future. We pray that your blessing might be upon Pastor Craig as he brings the word to us, and that you give us attentive ears, and your blessing might be on the entire congregation this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. Well, chapter 10 opens up with Daniel praying, and he's praying a sincere prayer. Daniel begins in the third person, talks about himself in the third person here as a means of identifying this particular writing with him. You see, the book of Daniel is not always a book. It was a pile of scrolls, with each scroll containing another record. So through this book, Daniel has identified who he is as he recorded each of these scrolls. And he's done this about five different times now through this book. But this right here would be his last scroll. He was probably around 80-something years old by now. And chapter 10 actually introduces the content of chapters 11 and 12, which we'll go on to see in later weeks here. But in chapters 11 and 12, we're going to see Daniel's final vision from God. However, here in chapter 10, it kind of introduces that vision. And it begins by telling us that Daniel had been praying. Okay, he'd been praying, sincerely praying. And I'm convinced that the biggest reason that we are given chapter 10 really is to show us the relationship between sincere prayer and the spiritual realm. It shows us what happens behind the scenes, really, in the spiritual realm when we pray here on earth. Chapter 10 is a fascinating chapter. And again, the main purpose seems to be for showing us the relationship between our prayer and what goes on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. That's our subject this morning, okay? Sincere prayer and the spiritual realm. Before we look into this passage here in Daniel, I want to read this to you. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 18. It says, "For we," and this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Well, what I just read there in Ephesians chapter 6 really is what chapter 10 is about. And right in these opening verses of chapter 10, the first thing we learn is sincere prayer seriously prays. Sincere prayer seriously prays. I'm willing to admit to you this morning that I have prayed prayers that were only words that came out of my mouth, right? As general and mechanical and plain as that statement is, that's how sincere my prayer was. Have you ever read a book and your mind wandered and you had to stop and go back and reread what you just read? Okay? I've prayed prayers like that. I've prayed prayers that mindlessly. I'm willing to admit that. Are you? Point being, sincere prayer seriously prays. I want to read you again verses 2 and 3 of chapter 10. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, at first glance, we might think Daniel was just on a diet and really sad about it. And while the word prayer is not found in these two verses, it will be down in verse 12 when we get there. It'll be there that we learn that Daniel is not just starving himself, okay? He's not just being sad. He's in the midst of prayer. He's in the midst of prayer here, and it was serious prayer. What might that look like? Well, Daniel was mournful. He was mournful. He hurt in his heart concerning what he was praying for. And he was praying for his people, Israel. He hurt in his heart concerning his people, Israel. He was praying for them. In fact, it was 3 years earlier. 3 years earlier that he had learned the future of Israel concerning the 70 weeks that we looked at in chapter 9. Tribulation was coming for his people. Tribulation was coming, and here 3 years later, perhaps it hit him again. And he mourned for their future. Also, by this time, the Persian king Cyrus had already allowed about 50,000 Jews to return to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and they were facing hardships. And Daniel knew, while things looked good now, as far as Israel going back to rebuild the temple, they were facing hardships, but that was nothing compared to what was going to come even yet future after that. And he mourned for that. He was sad for his people. He hurt in his heart. Have you ever prayed so sincerely, so seriously for something that you hurt in your heart for them? I hope you have. So Daniel was mournful. Daniel was also temperate, meaning rather than focusing on and being distracted by the pleasures of this life, he set his mind, body, and spirit on the next. The Bible calls it fasting. Okay, it's really denying ourselves some of the distractions of the physical world to help us to focus on the spiritual. It's not about self-deprecation. It's about prioritizing. This is what's important right now. I'm going to set aside all these other things for a time because this right here, what I'm praying for is most important right now. Daniel was being temperate, and then Daniel was also persistent. He'd been sincerely praying and fasting for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And the only reason he stopped was because he got an answer. Now we're going to get to see what happens behind the scenes when we sincerely pray. But have you ever wondered why sometimes when we pray, we don't seem to get an answer? Now sometimes we pray amiss and we ask for things that are outside of God's will and best for us. And he's not going to give us those things. Also, sometimes God has his timing in the answer, and that's certainly part of what we're going to see here. But apparently there are other reasons as well, and we get a little bit of a glimpse into why that might be in our passage. You know, we live in a world where we can click the button of our computer mouse, and 2 days later, a package magically shows up on our porch. And we tend to forget that behind the scenes, there is a hive of activity taking place between point A and point B. We don't even think about the fact that the product that we just bought, well, it had to be manufactured by somebody, right? It had to be shipped to a warehouse by somebody. It had to be picked from that warehouse by somebody. It had to be packaged by people, sent to the postal service by people, sorted by people, loaded on a truck by people, driven to Mesquite by people, sorted again and loaded on another truck by people, driven around town and finally unloaded, walked up to your porch and placed there. We forget that behind the scenes, there's a hive of activity taking place between point A and point B. And apparently, our prayers can initiate activity as well. Where we might just speak words in sincerity to God, receiving the answer may involve lots of behind-the-scenes activity. Now, I do not know that every prayer that we pray involves what we're going to see here next. But it might. It might. And I think chapter 10 is given to us so that we can know it might. When we pray, this may be going on in the spiritual realm. So concerning Daniel's prayer, secondly, sincere prayer sends angels. Sincere prayer sends angels. As Daniel is out and about doing business for the king, he had been praying for 3 weeks, and as he and some other men were by the Tigris River, we read this. Look at verses 4 through 11 now. It says, now on the 24th day of the first month, as it was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of ephahs. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And we're going to stop right there. But sincere prayer sends angels. And Daniel was given the ability to see this in a vision. While the men with him saw nothing, something caused them to flee, Daniel was given the ability to see what it was. And this passage creates a little bit of a theological division as to what Daniel is seeing. And I'll address that here quickly. But here are three main camps of what what is taking place and who this angel is. All right. The first camp is he's seeing the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord elsewhere in Scripture is indeed the pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God, the Christ, the second person of the Godhead, who would, about 500 years yet future from this event, come in human flesh in the man of Jesus and die for the sins of the world. And the argument for this certain man that appeared to be the pre-incarnate Jesus is that the description that Daniel gives right here is almost identical to the description of Jesus that John gives in Revelation chapter 1. And the fact that the other men fled and hid from the glory could affirm that. So that's the first camp. Here's the second one. He's seeing an angel of the Lord, who could look like this as well. This certain man could be one of the species of angels among God's heavenly host appearing to him as he is. And this argument is affirming the fact that this angel, we're going to see shortly, needed help. We're going to see this in a few verses, but he needed help in a demonic battle. Okay? That's going to be in our next point. I don't think the Son of God would need help in a demonic battle. He didn't in the Gospels, even when he was in human form. So he's either the angel of the Lord, he's an angel of the Lord, or Daniel is seeing both the angel of the Lord and then an angel. Some say the description in verses 5 through 9 is the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, appearing, speaking to Daniel as a certain man, and then in verses 20 through 21 we will see an angel of the Lord, probably Gabriel, coming to minister to Daniel. Gabriel is the angel who has already delivered several messages to Daniel, and it could be him here, along with the Son of God. So we've got those three camps, the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, and both. Well, here is what I think. I don't know. What I do know is Jesus would not need help in a battle against demons. So the next verses are definitely not about him. And these verses clearly tell us, though, this is what I do know, that sincere prayer sends angels. It sends angels. The next time you pray sincerely, from the heart, maybe even in mourning with your heart hurting, know that angelic activity could be taking place behind the scenes. Some may be sent to deal with the very thing that you are praying for, and you just can't see them. Or perhaps you do see them and you just don't know they're an angel, because Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels." Can I tell you that I think that there are angels here with us today? I think there are some in this room with us today. Sincere prayer sends angels. Thirdly this morning, sincere prayer sways battles. Sincere prayer sways battles. There is a book by Frank Peretti called This Present Darkness, in which he imagines what it looks like in the spiritual realm when we as Christians live and pray. And he describes intricate battles, warfare in the spiritual realms between God's holy angels and the devil and his demons, where God's angels are either fortified by our prayers or diminished by the deficiency of our prayers. And while it may not work as Frank Peretti imagined it, right here in our passage, we do see that angels do battle. Another book similar to that, if you've ever read it, The Screwtape Letters, I think it's C.S. Lewis that wrote that. Similar thing. He takes a look at what's going on, or what he imagines is going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. And both those books take that information, take their information from what we find right here. Look at the end of verse 11 through 14. It says, "While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days.'" For the vision refers to many days yet to come. So I do believe that Daniel was praying for the future of Israel. Perhaps praying to know that future so he could record it. And that is exactly what's happening here. In chapters 11 and 12, he's going to receive the answer to that prayer and record it. All right? According to verse 12, Daniel was known in heaven for having a heart for God, humility to put others before himself. And as a result of that, when he prayed, the mobilization was immediate. When he prayed, the mobilization was immediate. Get this, it says from the first day, Daniel began sincerely praying and fasting, this angel was sent with the answer. Back in verse 11, Daniel is called greatly beloved by this angel. Daniel actually had a reputation, apparently, in heaven. So when he prayed, mobilization was immediate. However, malice was encountered. "The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me," he says, 21 days. For 21 days, this angel did battle with this prince of Persia. Now, in scripture, princes are almost always identified as rulers. And when we're talking about passages like this, we're talking about rulers in the spiritual realm. It is a somewhat generic term, that prince is somewhat a generic term for a ruler. And such is the context of our passage. A prince is a ruling son of royalty. Angels are often called the sons of God. Fallen angels or demons are often called principalities. And this one was a ruler over Persia in the spiritual realm. You see, as the earthly king of Persia, Cyrus, had just allowed the Jews to go rebuild their temple by the will of God, the spiritual ruler of Persia decided to attack from another front. Let's try to keep this information. Whatever information is coming to Daniel, let's try to keep it from Daniel. Let's keep revelation from Israel. Now, demons don't know the future, but they could plainly see that Daniel was mourning, fasting, praying. They could see a son of God ablaze and shooting toward Daniel, and they would know, this can't be good for us. So they attacked. They fought for 21 days. Malice was encountered, and then Michael came to help. Michael is here called a prince as well. Again, a somewhat generic term for a ruler in the spiritual realm, but Michael is here called one of the chief princes or rulers. In fact, this coupled with a few other passages of scripture seem to indicate that just as demonic prince, just as the demonic prince of Persia was over Persia, Michael was one of God's chief rulers and he was over Israel. And it appears that by the time he arrived, there were a few other demonic rulers fighting Gabriel. For near the end, in verse 13, it says kings, plural. So there were a few other princes or rulers involved. And before we're done this morning, the prince of Greece is going to get involved too. But here's the big question. Why was Michael sent after 21 days of battle? Why was he not sent as soon as the battle began, as soon as this other angel was being held up? Well, here's what I think. I don't know. What I do know is that God's in control. And in His will, the delivery of this message was timed perfectly. Perhaps it was God's will that we know that battles occur in the spiritual realm. Maybe that's why it was a 21-day delay, so that we could read this passage and say, oh, when we pray, spiritual battles happen. I mean, there aren't many places in Scripture that we get this kind of insight is into what's happening behind the scenes. God is in control. We have this passage, and we can know that when we pray, there's things going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. Perhaps the 21-day battle happens specifically so that Daniel would record it and we could know. In James 4:7, it says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We do that through prayer, through the Word of God. So the next time you pray sincerely, the next time you pray for that loved one's salvation, and you wonder, will it ever happen? Will it ever happen? Why is it taking so long? Perhaps there is a literal battle taking place in the spiritual realms right now concerning that very issue that you're praying for. And all it requires, perhaps, is one more day. One more day of prayer. One more day of sincerely asking God for His help. And then God will send the aid that sways that battle. Sincere prayer seriously prays. It sends angels. It sways battles. Fourthly, sincere prayer saps strength. It's demanding on us when we pray. It can take our physical energy, our mental energy. Look at verses 14 through 19. He says, now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Have you ever prayed for something where you're not really sure you want the answer? There are people in my life that I am praying for their brokenness. I am praying to God that they would find themselves in such a pit of shame that they have no one else to cry out to but God. That is a hard prayer to pray. In fact, it's a prayer that I'm not even sure I want that to happen to them. It is painful. Maybe you're praying for someone like that that has not yet come to know the Lord, that they would hit rock bottom and finally have no other choice but to call out to Him. Perhaps you're praying for someone who has departed from the Lord. And I pray that they would find themselves again in such a pit of shame that they have no one else to cry out to but to God. I have a feeling that this is the kind of prayer that Daniel is praying for his people. Lord, open their eyes. Messiah is coming. And according to the end of this prophecy in chapter 9, I think they're going to miss him. And it is paining him. The last person we want to see is that person in a pit. Well, I think there are at least two factors in Daniel's strength being depleted here. First is obviously the presence of this angel. There's no doubt that simply being in the presence of a holy angel of God can bring a person to their knees. We see it numerous times through Scripture. Several places in Scripture that tell us about people dropping to the ground face down in the presence of a holy angel. But also, we see his prayer, at least by way of a vision. It's not being fulfilled yet, but it's being answered. He's going to be showed exactly what's going to happen to his people. And it's not good. He'd been praying about the future of Israel. He has sought forgiveness for them concerning their consistent disobedience. And now he's going to get the answer. Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. And when he spoke such words, we're going to read those words when we get to chapter 11 and 12. When he spoke such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. Speechless. Strengthless. Have you ever prayed a prayer that was so, maybe one of those prayers you're not sure you wanted the answer to, and you didn't even have the right words to say? Lord, I just want what you want here. Speechless, strengthless, because he was overwhelmed by the sorrows he would see. However, God does give strength, gives him some strength here. In fact, in Isaiah 40, it says that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And in verse 19 here, the angel says, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Daniel was ready for the answer. As deeply as it may have pained him, he was now ready for the answer. And that is our last point. I'll close with this, because sincere prayer secures answers. Look at verses 20 and 21. Then he said, "Do you know why I've come to you? And now I must return and return and fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince." And then I want to dip down there into chapter 11, just the verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2. It says, "Also, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him." This is the angel telling Daniel, I strengthened Darius, okay? "And now I will tell you the truth. This is what I come to do. I come to give you strength. I'm going to reveal this to you, but I'm going to give you strength to bear it and record it." And the truth that he came to reveal, the answer to this prayer, is what we're going to look at next week, or at least begin to look at next week. Sincere prayer secures answers. Know that. The scripture of truth is simply the God-determined reality. In this case, the God-determined reality for Israel, perhaps already recorded in heaven, but now delivered to earth through Daniel. It is the answer to his prayer that we're going to see in these remaining chapters. Along with that, we also learn that Michael took over so that Gabriel, well, perhaps Gabriel, could deliver this message. And now he's going back to help him and anticipates that the Prince of Greece is going to be there. And it also appears that they're a bit of a team, Michael and Gabriel, through history. And honestly, the only reason that I can think that we are told these things right here and right now is that you and I can know the relationship between our prayers and the spiritual realm. I don't know what's heavy on your heart right now. I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know what's in the deepest part of your heart. I don't know all of the trials that you're going through or the trials that you are praying for concerning others in your life. But if you set your heart on what God wants, if you cry out to Him, if you'll humble yourself before Him and sincerely pray for what He wants in this situation, He'll send angels. It can sway the battle. It may be weakening to you as you do this, but He will answer. In His time, He will answer. My heart is broken for my unsaved family and friends, that they would turn a willful blind eye to how much God loves them and how much God wants to bless them. It hurts my heart to see them willfully ignorant, rejecting that. My heart is broken for my unsaved family and friends. My heart is broken for friends and family that have tasted the goodness of God and then departed from it. My heart is broken for my country and its pursuit of wickedness on a dead run toward it. It breaks my heart that they would believe lies so easily. But I have to remember that all of these people that I'm praying for, I have to remember that they are not the enemies. They are deceived. They are lost. And they need our prayers. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father, we do thank you for chapter 10 of Daniel, this glimpse that you have given us into what potentially is going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm right around us. There could be a battle taking place right here, right now, because of a heart that is refusing you. Perhaps because of a heart that is desiring the things of this world. Perhaps because of a heart that is disobedient to you. So Lord, I pray right now for victory, your victory, in your timing. Lord, thank you for the insight you've given us here. And I pray that knowing this, knowing that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but through your word and our prayer to you, there is a battle going on, and ultimately you will have your way. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead and stand one more time.